in a coastal resort town in 79. The people there were going about in August just like they would any day. The restaurants were open. The climate was beautiful. The people were enjoying what they loved to do. The pleasures of that resort were going as always. They had some interesting things that had been happening. Some of the people were busy repairing some cracks in the wall, and some of the water systems of the city had been damaged by an earthquake not too long before. But mostly life was as it had been, and they just went and did their things. The houses of prostitution were open. The army military man was stationed there. He decided he would enjoy a leisurely bath and then a nap, dinner. And then he looked up and he saw a funny cloud in the sky over against the beautiful mountain. They called their attention to it, and they said, "That's an interesting cloud. Wonder what that is." He was a man of learning. He had written 37-volume science history collection of books, but he didn't know what the cloud was. There had been some earth tremors around the city, just going on every few days. They talked about it over their drinks and didn't know what it really was. But toward noon, all of a sudden, there was a big explosion from the mountain, and it began to rain. It shot miles up into the air, and it began to rain dust and ash over the city. People started fleeing. They started, feet of it just fell, 10 feet, 12 feet. People began going and fleeing away from the city. And the man, the general out in the bay, thought he'd go in and try to rescue some people. But around midnight, after the rain of ash all over the city, there was another great explosion, and people across the bay said it was just like a sheets of fire just rained down from the mountain. And we know about it because of history. I said it was 79. This was 79 years after Christ. This was Pompeii, Italy. Mount Vesuvius, maybe you've read about it. But the people were, like I said, they were doing what they always did. Yes. The pleasures of sin were going full swing. The people there were there mostly for, like people go to the resort cities today. They didn't have TV, they didn't have movies. They didn't have those kind of things, but they had the theater. They had art. They had statues. They had paintings. And reading about the city, many of those statues and paintings portrayed the pleasures of the people of that city. They were pornographic. And as they went through later and uncovered this city, covered with 30 feet a volcanic rock. It revealed what had happened and what the people were like. It's one of the most revealing pictures of Roman life. It's been very helpful to people who write history to understand what was going on in that city when that volcano erupted. The thing was that that volcano had erupted thousands of years before, but they didn't know it. Nobody there had ever experienced it. It was long before their time. And they had the mistaken idea that since it had not erupted in so long, that the longer the better. But reality was that the longer, the more intense danger it was. They didn't know, even though the man had written 37 volumes of science, they didn't know that seismic activity and the earth tremors were all pointing, and the recent earthquakes had pointed to this mountain is fixing to blow. But they didn't know that. So they had all the signs, but they were ignorant of the signs. We just heard the song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand and Build Your Hopes on Things Eternal. I now want to kind of shift on you a little bit, and I'm going to talk about a couple people that we read about in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 24, we read of Paul, who was called before the governor. Felix. Now Felix, if you want to read about him, you can. He was not a godly man at all. He was 3 times married. And he was a violent man, a bloody man. He had been appointed and made governor there. And this is the man that Paul was standing before. And after he had heard Paul's testimony, he called him again. Verse 23, he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. It sounds like that Paul intrigued him. But there's a danger in being intrigued, but not moved to the point of change. Yes. A lot of people go through that. Interested, but not interested enough to change my life about this. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. That kind of tells you a little bit about his heart, that he might loose him, hoping for a bribe, trembling because of what Paul had talked to him about. Temperance here, it has reference to chastity, to purity. And Paul, I would love to have heard what he talked to Felix about. Because here's what Felix had done. This Felix was in his 60s. And like I said, he was married for the 3rd time. And the wife that he was married to this time was about 19 or 20. And he had been married a couple times, but he had gone to visit another king, Azizas. And he saw that king's wife. And she was reported to be one of the most beautiful women in the world. Drusilla was one of three sisters. There was Bernice and Drusilla and Mariamne. The three girls were so beautiful. They were noted for their beauty, and statues were made of them that were not nice. They were put up as they do people today, women that are beautiful but not godly. That's what kind of person that Felix fell in love with her. And he hired a magician to seduce her and get her to leave her husband and marry him. She was a Jewess. She was Herod Agrippa's daughter, but evidently her mother was a Jewess. She knew of God's commandments. I wonder, and people have wondered, if she was curious and a bit moved by the news of this new religion, the Messiah, and wanted to know more about it. But whatever it was, here one of the most famous beauties of the day, at age 19 or 20, came with her aging husband and wanted to know about Christ. And Paul got right to the point. I'm sure he dealt with her lifestyle, the things that she and her sisters were involved in. Wicked. Wicked women. She had been married the first time when she was 14. And those, in that day, living loosely was not considered something bad. But this girl was different. She knew better. She knew better. And so you can just imagine. I wonder, though, what if Felix trembled, what was Drusilla doing? Yes. Was she affected? Did she say, Paul? No, did she say, Felix, this man bothers me. Get him out of here. I don't know. But it doesn't record any more about this couple, except for Felix, that after 2 years, well, he did send for Paul after that. He sent for him oftener and communed with him, but it does not say that he ever changed. He was a wicked man, but it doesn't say. I believe if he had come to the Lord, that he would have, it would have been recorded. Yeah. But after this, he vanishes off the scene. He was in his 60s, not too many years left in his life. And evidently, he did not turn his heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Drusilla, you don't hear about her in the scriptures anymore. But she had a son with Felix. He would have been in line then, in Herod Agrippa's line. And we know, if you've read much of history in that line, that was a wicked family, that family of kings. I want to speak to us just a little bit right now. My burden is, it's to the young sisters. I've never had a message like this. I really haven't known what to do with it. But I want to speak to you about what he spoke. I want to speak to you about purity and about not loving the world. I want to speak to you about keeping yourselves for God. And don't let someone deceive you into a lifestyle of wickedness. God help me. I have a burden, and I don't know why, except that this thing is getting people. It's appealing. The life of glamour and beauty is appealing to young women. And I don't mean to just single you out, but this is the burden the Lord gave me. And he gave it to me for this night. So if you're here tonight, it's a God thing, because this is what I felt like we should bring. These three women, they were sisters, and they were all beautiful, but they hated each other because of their beauty. They were jealous of Drusilla. The other ones were. And that's one reason why she had left her husband and married Felix. I don't know why that would help things out, but that's what she did. I guess to get away from her other sister. But those kind of things go along with it. There's trouble and heartache in pursuing this world of glamour. It's not easy. It's not something that is going to satisfy your soul.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to seek the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
The true beauty that comes from within, the radiance that God gives. There's a scripture, and I'll just refer to it, but in Psalms, one of the last chapters in Psalm, but it talks about, it says, the Lord beautifies the meek with salvation. True beauty comes from Him. And there's a lot of times that a young woman feels, in through her teens, she feels ugly. And you fight with that, and you fight with that, and you constantly wish you could do something to make yourself beautiful. I want to tell you what to do. You live for the Lord. You give your life to the Lord. You follow in His ways. You find His joy, and He will beautify you. He'll satisfy your heart. He'll give you radiance within. When that is in your heart and your life, the character that God gives you is going to be the attraction and not the physical. And you don't want that anyway. We don't want physical attraction to be chief in our lives because, like the song said, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. You want something that will last. I want to encourage you this evening to seek after God. Don't love the things of this world. Don't keep grasping for a way to make myself more beautiful in things of this world. But have a contentment. Seek for a contentment of heart. It waits on the Lord for His time to exalt you. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying here. Sometimes in the flesh, people want to put themselves out there. That's what this world does. Make yourself available. Make yourself noticed. Make a statement. Lord, have mercy on us. I want to just encourage you young men. You be looking for young lady with character. Let the young ladies know that that's what's important. Too many times the young men, by their choices and by their conversation, they give a message to the sisters that they wish you were a little more glamorous. They wish you were a little more like the world. It's godliness that you want. It's character that will make you a good wife, that will love you despite your faults, that will cling to you, that will serve you and make life a happy life with you. You look for a girl with character. You realize how valuable that is. There's a scripture that says, what is that last part in Proverbs 31? It keeps coming to my mind. I don't have just a lot of scriptures. I have a burden. And I don't just have a lot of scriptures. But the one there in Proverbs 31 where it says in verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. It doesn't last. And this word vain usually means a lie. Beauty, outward beauty, is really a lie because it can really deceive you. There have been people of beauty that have been so of poor character, they would be hurtful and ruin people's lives because of their physical beauty. He said, beauty is vain, favor is deceitful. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She's not only praised of men, but I believe that she has honor and praise given to her from God. He reasoned with Drusilla and Felix about judgment to come.
Yes.
We said we don't have any record of Drusilla, but there was a historian that recorded her death. She and her son lived in Italy. That's what Josephus says. He said that of the people that did not survive the volcano in Pompeii were Drusilla and her son. By this time, she was 42. She was still probably a woman of beauty. But she lived in this city where on the walls, they would draw these pictures that were evil. And they also did something that I was kind of surprised at, but the gladiators were the celebrities in those days. And they were held up as celebrities and talked about just like people talk about sports stars and movie stars today. They were compared and they were praised and lifted up by the women. It was written on the walls. They found it after this earthquake when they began to go in and excavate the city. They found all of these things. That was their social media, was the walls of the city. That's where the pictures and the statues were and the graffiti that told the lives of the people and what they loved and what they thought. They compared blondes with brunettes. They said, oh, this man right here, he wins the heart of all the girls. We think sometimes that people back then weren't like people today, but this was like Hollywood back there. This was like New York or Paris. This was a place where these things were it was very much like our time today. And this is where Drusilla lived. I wonder, oh Drusilla, what were you doing? And what I hope, what I wish would be that she was there and that she had converted and that she was a Christian woman. But we don't have any record of that. I wish we did. I would hope that that was the case. But whatever it is, she didn't make it out alive. It was a city of about 25,000. And there was a second city that was also ruined, Herculaneum. Both of those cities were completely ruined and covered over with all these feet of ash and lava. Someone that went through wrote on one of the walls, and this has given people a tendency to think that there were people there in that city that knew about God and the things of the scriptures. But someone wrote on one of the walls, Sodom and Gomorrah. That helps you to know, too, that God, how he looks down on these kind of activities, the things that characterize that city. They said there were some things that were on those walls that one of the kings, I think, I can't remember which one it was, but he completely took those things that they had found and shut them up and said they're not lawful for people to see. They were so wicked. This is where Drusilla ended up. I wonder, was she among the crowd there of people who were so used in those activities? I don't know. But my burden this evening is to warn us. There's a judgment to come. For them, I don't know if Paul said Jesus is going to come back and all that. I don't know what he told them. But for Drusilla, hers was just in a few years. It was a judgment. It was something that Those people had never ever seen. They didn't even know how to predict it. It caught them by such surprise. One of the young men that wrote about it, he was a nephew of the man that I told you that was stationed in the bay. His uncle went and tried to help people as the first stages of the ash was raining down. And there was a blast of hot air that came and just suffocated him. And during his time of trying to help people out. And his nephew that was riding from across the bay, he said you could hear the screams of the women and the children. And when they went in and uncovered different rooms and places of people that had not made it out alive, what they found was that melted rock had formed around these people, and then over the hundreds of years, their remains had deteriorated, but you could pour plaster down in there and then take that plaster, and it was a perfect, in perfect mold of the people, their expressions, their positions. And there were lots of people who were in embraces, mothers with children, and whole families that were huddled together. They didn't know what else to do. I wonder if Paul had some kind of a prophecy that he gave Drusilla and Felix. It has made me really wonder. These things are real. These things are going on today. I just want to warn you. Don't let the enemy deceive you like the magician deceived Drusilla. I know that the enemy tempts people. I know that he tempts young, pure ladies for this world. I know that he tempts married women, married people, to commit adultery, to become dissatisfied and look somewhere else. I know in my youth I had a dear friend, very godly person I looked up to, and I just never would have thought that there would ever be any difference in her life. But I would see her from time to time, and there, one time I remember seeing her, and there was something different about her. And it seemed like she had made some kind of efforts to improve her appearance, and I'm not a judgmental person. I don't look at things like that and just start surmising, but I just noticed that. The next time I saw her, there was another change that had made, and she was a little cooled off from her former zeal and joy in the Lord and victory that she would testify about. Another time I saw her, and there was a big difference, and this was an older person. She began to let a love for glamour and a love for beautifying herself rule her. Until one day I heard that she had left her husband and she was living a life of sin. That disappointed me so badly, because I had the letters that we would write to, that she would write to me. I knew the victory that she had had. Today, she's a slave to alcohol, and she's an older woman. I wish that she had a Paul that could go to her and talk to her. But this woman, just a young 20-year-old, she probably never thought about something like what she faced when she was 42. My heart today cries out for our young people. Yes. And I think about some that I was friends with that very much loved the Lord at the time that we were teenagers together. And so many of them went this path. And now they're several times married. Some of them have been addicted to drugs for several years. Some of them don't know where to turn now. Some of them are experiencing the losses and the griefs of sin. Yet, when they were your age, they were just like you. Yes. They loved the Lord. There was a magician like this man employed, but I'll just call it the world. He drew them away from the Lord.
Yes.
He came and persuaded them, and that's what Felix told this man. You tell her that if she'll leave her husband, I'll make her a happy woman. But Drusilla didn't follow what she knew was right. She yielded to that and married him, and that's where that is. Oh, Drusilla, we may have some here tonight. I hope that you will listen to God's message and give your life completely to the Lord.
Yes.
He's not a magician who promises you things that he won't fulfill. But he promises you eternal life.
Yes.
He promises you not the baubles, trinkets of this life, but he promises lasting beauty in your heart and in your life. I believe if you'll follow him, I really believe if you'll follow him, if you will seek him tonight, if you'll give your life to him, and if there's anyone in here tonight that's being tempted by the enemy to leave the life that you're living for the Lord and to seek greener pastures, I want to tell you, run from the devil.
Amen.
Don't listen to what he's saying, because there is judgment to come. And I'm not a doom and gloom preacher usually, but the Lord gave me this message, and he let me know, I want you to preach this on Saturday night. So he knows who we are tonight. And I want to just leave this with you. Keep yourselves pure.
Yes.
Don't be dabbling with the things of this world.
Amen.
That are so evil. Don't be curious. Don't seek them out. They're going to just be thrown at you anyway. But run away. Don't open it up. Don't click on it. Don't seek after it.
Yes.
Young men too. These things have a judgment attached to them.
So.
God is going to rain fire from heaven once again on these things. I want you to think about it this evening and pray for me.